welcome to episode 7 on Podcasts on Fifth Avenue. I'm Taylor Haas. As always, we're joined by Jenna and Jordan. And my God, when we left off last episode, we were talking about Jeff Carter and his fruit snacks. And so for those that missed last episode, when the Penguins went on their opening road trip of the season, Jeff Carter spotted with a big bag of Welch's fruit snacks. And it kind of took off from there. There are a lot of memes. I talked to him after the Tampa game, and I was like, do you eat those fruit snacks? And he's like, oh, yeah, within the first 5 minutes on the plane, he was laughing about it. So when we were on our last episode, we were talking about, like, why have the people from Welch's not contacted Jeff Carter, get him, like, a sponsorship deal? And it was, like, the next morning after we recorded, Welch's tweeted Jeff Carter, offers to send to restock his stash. I don't know.
Amazing.
Can we take credit for this, guys?
Can we get some credit for this? Like, seriously.
We pushed for it very hard. And I don't understand why we're not seeing more props. I don't know.
Can we get our stocks of Welch's fruit snacks replenished?
I know. Like, I don't know. Can they sponsor the show?
Oh, Welch's fruit snacks sponsor
Wouldn't
us.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, we gotta push for that next. But yeah, I can't wait to for the next time Carter talks. Like, I'm gonna have to ask him, like, what exactly did Welch's send you? Like, what is this stash looking like? Because
we need details.
Yeah, just incredible. His gif to accept the offer, I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry, just searched fruit snacks, but it's like someone like pouring like fruit snacks on themselves. This hilarious. Jeff Carter has become a meme himself.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so great to see that. Using the power of social media for good. In Very other good. News, though, non-fruit snacks news, the Penguins, we're 4 games into the season. The Penguins have yet to suffer a regulation loss. 6 of 8 points to start the season. They had the overtime loss in Florida and then the shootout loss to Dallas. But, I mean, did any of us see this coming with, no Crosby, no Malkin, no Gensel to start, Russ got hurt in Florida, Matheson's been gone, Aston Reese missed some time. How are they where they are, 6 of 8 points? I mean, Jordan, if you want to start, just what have you seen in the team?
Well, I've just seen so much of the right things in Sullivan's system. Everybody is forechecking really well. They're being super aggressive, but not stupid. They're playing really smart hockey, and they're getting contribution from all 4 lines. And if you think about it, the bottom 6 guys right now, it's going to be a fight for who gets on that 4th line whenever everybody's healthy, because they're all pretty much in and out of Wilkes-Barre. Like, it's not like they're a lock to make the professional roster, and they're all playing up to that level, which has just been incredible. And you're seeing guys like Teddy Bluger, who we know already is incredible, play. It's still one of the most underrated players potentially in the league. He's so good. And I think the defense is playing really well in front of him, but it can't not be said that Tristan Jarry has had an outstanding handful of games. Even in the loss last night, he just got beat a couple more times, or just one more time, than Braden Holtby in the shootout. Like, he kept up the whole game, and no matter what was thrown at him, he was doing really well. And I think that having him not only play well, but look so confident doing so, is, I think that there's this mutual trust between the forwards and the defensemen and Tristan Jarry now, where they know, like, we got your back, Tristan, but we know that if something happens, you can bail us out. It just seems like there's this chemistry all across the board that just disappeared in the playoffs last year. And I think that that is what has helped them get where they are, because they're missing really key guys, and they have gotten 6 out of 8 points. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, Jari's been huge. My favorite stat to measure goalies, it's not save percentage, not goals against average, because that really doesn't take into account, you know, so many other factors. But there's an advanced stat, goals saved above expected, which basically takes a set expected goals, which is hard to explain, but it's basically what it sounds like, expected goals based on the quantity and type of shots they're facing. And so the goals saved above expected takes that and sees, like, how many actual goals are they letting in compared to what would be expected. And right now Jari is, I think, third in the league in goals saved above expected. So, you know, taking into account the defense in front of him, he's way outperforming expectations. But yeah, Jenna, just what have you seen from the team in the stretch?
Yeah, I think that you can't not talk about what Tristan Jarry has done, just because I even look back at some of the saves he made in the Dallas game, and there were ones where we're in the newsroom where you're just like, oh, wow, like that was gorgeous. I'm trying to remember. I want to say it was like in the third period. I was doing a bunch of stuff, so it was kind of like sporadic here and there. But
Peterson.
There was a couple.
Peterson is the one I think you're talking of from like the right circle. That was like that got them to overtime.
That's exactly what it did. Yeah. Like, he kept them in that game, and that's what they need from him. I think you're seeing his confidence kind of come as well, because again, with what Jordan was saying, after the way that the postseason was last year, there was a lot of conversation around him and are they going to go for another goalie in free agency? Is he going to be the guy? We heard from the team. We heard from Mike Sullivan. We heard from the front office. Tristan Jarry is our guy. And he's come into the season this year and said, yeah, I am the guy right now. And he's proving it with his play. But I think it's just also been, you know, we talk about all the time how the team plays when Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, both aren't in the lineup. And you see them step up. You see guys that don't normally contribute. And I feel like we talked a little bit about this last week, and I keep driving this point. But Evan Rodriguez is playing so well, and he's a guy that needed to do that. You know, you need players like him. You need players like Danton Heinen, who has goals in 3 of 4. You need, you know, you expect Jeff Carter to play well. You expect Chris Letang to play well. But you need those bottom six guys that are being thrust in bigger roles to play well, and you're seeing that from those guys. I really also like what Brock McGinn's been doing, kind of a little, I guess, a little more quiet in terms of his goal scoring, but he's been setting plays up really well. He seems to be really gelling with the guys that he's matched with. And he seems like they also seem like they're having fun. I think that's also, I know it's such a simple thing, but they seem like, you know, hey, we know that we're a little bit bitten by the injury bug right now. We know we're missing our two star centers, but we're going out there, we're getting points, we're staying competitive. I mean, how do you not? I think, what was it, Saturday's game against Chicago? That first period was so fun.
Yeah. Not for Marc-Andre Fleury, but for everyone else. Yeah, poor Fleury. But yeah, I mean, to Jordan's earlier point, you know, when or if this team ever gets healthy, I don't know who comes out. I mean, going into this season, I think, you know, they added a bunch of guys for the bottom six. And I think, at least from my perspective, the one that really didn't make any sense was like Danton Heinen. It's like, why do they need Danton Heinen? They have enough guys who would fill that kind of role. But like you said, Jenna, goals in 3 of 4 games, he's looked really good. I mean, they talked all through training camp that, you know, they think Danton Heinen has more offensive upside, and they're hoping to see, you know, he didn't show that in Anaheim, but they were hoping to see, you know, come back what he was putting up in Boston. And we're kind of, it's early, but we're seeing that. Just, you know, the shots he's taking, and he's the guy that has been elevated to the top six, you know, with Gensel and Russ being out. He can play both wings. So, I mean, he's not coming out. Dominic Simone is another guy that coming into the season maybe would seem like the obvious choice to come out, but he has through 4 games, a goal and 2 assists, and just watching him and how key he is for, you know, his line, just maintaining possession and the little things he does that you might not notice, that, you know, get his line mates offensive zone time and, you know, keep the puck out of their own end. He might be the guy coming out, but he hasn't earned, you know, coming out of the lineup. He's looked good. I would say maybe Drew O'Connor, just because, you know, roster wise, he is waivers exempt and he can go down to Wilkes-Barre if they need to. But even then, he's looked pretty good to start the season. He had a goal. His the game where he scored his first goal, what it was against Chicago, but the assist he had on Brock McGinn's goal.
Yeah.
That I think is the better representation of, you know, the steps he's taken this year, because it was his speed and, you know, that's what he worked on over the offseason, mm-hmm. was the speed. And, you know, we saw that. I wouldn't touch what is now the third line, Aston, Reese, McGinn, Bluger.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you both mentioned how good they've been, but, I mean, against Dallas, they were the best line by far. If you look at like the advanced mm-hmm. numbers, they had, so I mean, there were no power plays or penalty kill time in that game. So nothing really to disrupt the 5-on-5 time. And they had the most 5-on-5 time of any line just because they were so good. Yeah. They attempted 16 shots on goal when they were on the ice and only allowed mm-hmm. two, which is crazy. So, I mean, it's going to make for some tough decisions when they ever get healthy. But we also have to give props to what Mike Sullivan, winningest mm-hmm. coach in Penguins franchise history right now.
Yep.
With the win over Chicago. But, I mean, yeah, I think what a lot of what they're doing, you have to credit to Sullivan mm-hmm. with these star guys out, right?
Yeah, because he's the one putting it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the way that they play into his system, I mean, it shows, it works. And when you have guys that buy in, especially guys that are buying in without two future Hall of Fame players mm-hmm. in the lineup, and of course, Brian Rust, who's spectacular, you're seeing them get the results because of what he does to put them in position. We always hear him talk about, you know, we need to be as prepared as possible. And they are. That is what you're seeing from this group right now.
Yeah, really nothing to complain about through these four games. Honestly, like, I don't think I can pinpoint one thing that, you know, defense, goaltending, forwards, everything just coming together. But yeah, we can probably take a break now. We'll come back, talk maybe some fun news from Wednesday, and maybe some not so fun news from Tuesday. So stay tuned with us on Podcast on Fifth Avenue. All right, Wednesday's practice at the Lemieux Complex, pretty light practice, not a whole lot of, really no 5-on-5, no special teams, just a lot of like individualized, you know, specialized mini group practice. And the way it ended, the Penguins had their mustache boy shootout. So, I mean, for people that aren't familiar with it, this started under Dan Bylsma, Mustache Boy. Dan Bylsma used to do a lot more of it, like Juice Boy, anything ending in boy. And basically, you know, you lose the shootout, there's some kind of punishment involved. And the most common one is Mustache Boy, where, you know, someone has to grow a mustache for a month. And that, it started back up under Sullivan last year. And it looks like it's continuing into this season. So they had Mustache Boy. So I guess through November 20th, it's a full month. The loser has to have a mustache. And the loser, I would say, maybe to the surprise of nobody, Dominic Simone. Not the best hands on the team, I guess you could say. And then Marcus Pedersen, he was the one that, you know, he spoke after practice. And, you know, I asked him, you know, like, was that Mustache Boy? And he had said, yeah. And he said, you know, he confirmed Dominic Simone lost. And he said, and Casey DeSmith also lost. The rules of this are so, like, convoluted. And it's like, I think if a goalie allows, like, two in a row or three in a row, then they also have to grow a mustache. So you can, it's possible to have multiple losers. So DeSmith, Simone are your mustache boys for, you know, the end of October, start of November. But I don't know. What do you guys think of just this concept, Jenna, if you want to start?
It is one of my favorite things. And I just go back to last season because it was Brian Dumoulin that had to have a mustache. Am I correct? And it was like the thin pencil one that he was just like trying so hard.
He had one. Rust was one.
Yeah.
But no, you were right. Yeah. Dumoulin, I think, was the second one. Yep. And when Dumoulin lost his, Letang shaved his beard into a mustache in solidarity.
Yes.
Now, he didn't keep the mustache. It wasn't that much solidarity. Like, he didn't keep the mustache for the full month, but like for the first like week or two, you know, Letang had a mustache with Dumoulin. But yeah, you're right. Dumoulin, not a great one.
Oh, go look that up. Go find a photo of that because it's incredible. I also, because when we go back to Brian Russ, I remember he said, he's like, yeah, my wife wasn't too happy with it. Like, honestly, the real losers in this situation are the girlfriends and wives, frankly.
Yeah.
Although, I'm not going to lie, if I was on the other end of that, I would just be roasting them. I would be like, well, this is, you should win a shootout. Maybe you don't have to wear a mustache for a month.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine that conversation where, like, Dominic Simone comes home from practice and he has to tell his girlfriend, like, hey,
by the way,
I'm really sorry about this, but I'm gonna have to have a mustache for the next month.
He's sitting down, like, we need to talk, and it's like, so, I have to grow a mustache.
Oh my gosh.
It's amazing. And you see, I mean, at practice, they just have so much fun with that too. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, they make it into this big thing, and there has to be a nice sigh of relief when you know that you're not going to be mustache boy.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because it does, you know, kind of keep practice light. I remember one of them, you know, last year, I think it was the one Dumoulin lost, and it came down to, like, Dumoulin and Angelo, and I asked Angelo after practice, you know, like, how good is it, you know, for, you know, keeping things light, and he's like, well, it's not, you know, light when you're one of the last two. Like, like they actually take it seriously, and, you know, like, they're nervous, like, don't want a mustache unless you're what Kapanen does it intentionally, or Ricola. A couple guys do have mustaches on purpose, but yeah. But Jordan, what are your thoughts on the concept of mustache?
I love it because it seems like great motivation to get silkier mitts. I like that a lot because I'm just thinking about if I were a dude, I would try my hardest, whatever it took, to never have a mustache. And I feel like that's great motivation. And it just is another kind of testament to the chemistry of the team that they can do things like that where they're working, but they're also enjoying the work that they're doing together. And I think that's really cool. And I'm the kind of fan that, when I hear things like that, my mind automatically goes to this team is special, Stanley Cup. This is what we're going to talk about when they win the Stanley Cup. This is the kind of story. And so I have to kind of keep myself in check because it's like fun things happen every year, Jordan, and they've only won the Stanley Cup 5 times. So chill. But I do really love it. I think that it shows their personalities too, that they can have that kind of fun with each other. I'm a big fan, and I think that you need to keep us updated on I don't even know what we could call it, stash watch, something catchy like that.
Who would you guys most want to see on this team grow a mustache? Because I feel like the answer has to be John Marino.
Oh, I was going to say Evgeny Malkin.
That's exactly what
yeah.
Like, I always go back to, you know, when we hear from playoffs from teams that are from guys on teams that are like, yeah, I just cannot grow a playoff beard. Like, Cale Makar said that last year. And I feel like John Marino is in that boat. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like he's like in that boat. I don't know if he physically could grow himself a mustache. Maybe he could. I don't know.
I was going to say I've never seen him with any kind of facial hair at all. I don't know if he could. The first guy to pop into mind was Teddy Bluger, just because he's someone who you never see with facial hair, but he can grow a beard. He did have it in Wilkes-Barre. He really hasn't been around for a long playoff run, but, you know, I remember in Wilkes-Barre he did have, like, a little bit of facial hair. So for, I don't know, Teddy Bluger with a mustache would be something fun. I'm just thinking of, like, Jusso Riikola, you know, when he was in training camp and he spoke, the first question he got was, like, what's with the mustache? Because he has, like, a crazy one. He was like, it's just something to talk about. Like, he grew a mustache as a conversation starter. he's such an interesting guy.
That
but
is wacky.
Yeah, I don't know. So many guys I'd like to see with a mustache. Brian Boyle has one to begin with, but I think when you're a mustache boy, you also have to keep, like, the beard gone. And I don't know. Yeah. I think Boyle just with the straight mustache would be great. I don't know. I just love that they still call it Mustache Boy because, like, that's a Dan Bylsma thing. Like, Dan Bylsma called it Mustache Boy. So it's so funny, you know, when like Marcus Pedersen's talking about like, yeah, that was Mustache Boy. Like, does Dan Bowlesman know that like they're
that
still
carrying it on?
Because
somebody should tell him.
Yeah, he's assistant coach with the Charlotte Checkers now, the AHL, the Kraken's affiliate. So I mean, he was just in Wilkes-Barre recently, but yeah, I just think that's so funny. And because it was the players who played under Bowlesma who requested that it came back. I remember, Russ lost that first one, like the Penguins had like him mic'd up or somebody mic'd up and they showed it. And like, you know, Sullivan, you know, at the end of the practice said like, we had a request to do a Mustache Boy. So, you know, that has to be like, you know, like Sid or Letang or one of those guys. So yeah, it's just so funny that it's what, I mean, Bowlesma's been gone for how long? Sullivan's, you know, since surpassed with the winningest coach, and they're still using Mustache Boy. I guess in not so fun news, the Penguins sellout streak. I won't talk about the Dan Bowlesma era, but it ended after 14 years. It's 633 games, both regular season and postseason. Going back to February 14th, 2007. Ended against the Stars. So the streak started February 14th, 2007 against the Blackhawks. The last game of the streak was against the Blackhawks. Tuesday, they only sold 16,450 tickets. So they were only at, like, it wasn't even close. They were only at, like, 89% capacity, about 2,000 short of a sellout. Mm-hmm. But I guess, is anyone surprised? I guess just with the state of things, you know, because of the pandemic. And then I guess also, mm-hmm. I mean, it was a Tuesday night against Dallas.
Yeah.
Is anyone surprised? Jen, if you want to start.
I think it's one of those two, like there's so many contributing factors here. Yeah. I mean, obviously we are still dealing with the COVID pandemic. It's still very real in that sense. So people aren't entirely super enticed to be going to tons of sporting events, especially indoor sporting events right now. And then the fact that you're missing, you know, Crosby, Malkin, and Brian Russ, you know, big stars aren't playing. It was a Tuesday night. It was against the Dallas Stars. You know, it wasn't the Marc-Andre Fleury return type thing. So it was one of those, like, you heard kind of rumblings and the fact that, you know, but this is kind of all teams are dealing with this right now, as unfortunate mm-hmm. as it is. And then there's questions, hey, how does this affect the cap and all of that? Taylor, I know that you guys heard from David Morehouse kind of just about the state of things. But I think one of the most interesting things, and I have to quote Will Graves from the AP on Twitter, but he was basically saying, like, there isn't a ton to worry about, especially with the fact that the new TV deals are here. I mean, they're making mm-hmm. a lot of money with the NBA. I'm so used to saying TNT, NBA and TNT, NHL on TNT and ESPN, the combination of those deals, that's going to help them a lot too. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's kind of like the world is ending end all be all type thing, but I mean, it is a little bit bittersweet for, you know, what this team has done for the last 14 years. I mean, sustaining that has been absolutely incredible. And it's just a testament to Penguins fans and the city of Pittsburgh as a whole.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you mentioned the cap. David Morehouse, the CEO, he did speak with select few reporters at intermission on Tuesday. We a couple of us like got called into like a little room with Morehouse, and like they didn't tell us why we were going in there. And it's like, is the streak over? We're like trying to figure out why we could be possibly meeting with Morehouse. But yeah, that's what it ended up being. But we did talk to him, and he did say that, you know, since he's been with the team, he was hired in the 2004-05 lockout. So when they implemented a cap, there's never been a discussion of not spending to the cap. And he said mm-hmm. they still haven't had that discussion. So yeah, that's not going to be affected. Like you said, the TV deals are huge for this. He also did say, you know, while ticket revenue is important, they have made so many other changes, improvements to just the PPG, Paints Arena game day experience, stuff like the Bet Rivers Casino that they added in there. And a lot of changes they made to like the concession ordering experience and merch mm-hmm. and stuff like that, just improving the experience, speeding it up. So basically they're compensating for the lack of, or just a small drop in ticket sales with that. So yeah, not anything to be concerned mm-hmm. about. But Jordan, just what are your thoughts on, I mean, 14 years of selling out games?
Which that in itself is impressive. I think we all knew that this sellout streak had to come to an end eventually, because there will be a day when Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang are no longer on the team, and they probably aren't that great for a while. So I had a feeling it was going to happen within the next 3 to 5 years anyway. Honestly, I know that some people are still apprehensive because we are still in a pandemic actively. But I think, honestly, a lot of people are still trying to figure out how to adjust to things in person again. Like, I heard a couple behind me talking about just being at the game and watching on TV. And the guy said, oh, it's so much better watching on TV. And I almost turned around and slapped him. Said, no, it's not.
No, it is not. The one. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, hockey is the one sport that always is better in person. That's its own thing. But I, like, even just me, when I hit traffic now, I'm looking around thinking, what? Who are all these people? didn't they know I'm the only person who's allowed to be out? I think people are just kind of like, I think with the amount of time in between the stop of the 2019-2020 season and fans being permitted back into arenas, people have forgotten how incredible it is to be at games. And yeah, a lot of people are probably like, why deal with that? I sat in the traffic or the parking garage for 30 minutes yesterday, barely moving, just to get out. And I think people weigh their options and they're like, can I watch the Crosby Malkinless Penguins on TV for free, or pay to go park and walk and get stuck in traffic? I think that that's probably just kind of like an adjustment back into an open society again. And we're not really sure how to navigate that. And I think you're right, Jenna, everybody's dealing with this right now. The only team that isn't is the Steelers. And they're just, I don't know, their fans would watch, they would transport themselves to hell if it meant that they could watch the Steelers play football. They're just that level of crazy. But I think that I don't know. I don't find it concerning. I think it's just it's a thing that we have to navigate, figuring out, okay, there's still this virus out there. How do we do this safely? And people being like, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Morehouse talked about with us. You know, he noted that, I guess, in baseball this season, attendance was down 30%, like, across the board. And he said, you know, people just gotten used to staying home for the last 2 years and not going to these sporting events. And that's why, you know, he talked about how important it is to just make the game day experience better. Like, it's not about just going and watching the game. It's, like, it's about the whole experience. So that's why they, you know, the Bet Rivers Casino and just the things they did with concessions and stuff like that. But yeah, he just, Morehouse, I mean, but credited the pandemic entirely. You know, he said, it's the elephant in the room. He said, if there weren't a pandemic, we wouldn't be sitting here talking. I mean, I think it's kind of interesting. Most teams in the NHL have some sort of mandate for either masks or vaccines for fans. The Penguins are in the minority of having no kind of mandate. And I mean, and I have heard from some fans saying, I'm not comfortable going because they don't have anything like that, any kind of mandate policy. And I did ask Morehouse if he thought maybe that there's any kind of reluctance from fans from that. And he said, no, he said they surveyed season ticket holders and they wanted no kind of mandate. I know other teams surveyed their season ticket holders and they were in favor of a mandate. I know, like, the Winnipeg Jets said that they were overwhelmingly supportive of, you know, a mandate. Morehouse said they surveyed and they didn't get that kind of response. Now, I did hear from a season ticket holder that said they never got any kind of survey like that. And when they called to, like, I guess, like, put their tickets on hold or whatever, because of that, they heard that the rep told them that, like, you're far from the first person to say that that's the reason why you're staying home. So I don't know. It's just something interesting. But again, it just, a lot of people financially still have not recovered from the pandemic. And I think that's just the biggest thing. Tickets are expensive. I know you can get like the resale tickets, you know, maybe like $20, $30, but those don't count. Like those tickets are already sold from the team. So, you know, that's not contributing to the sellout. But yeah, just something interesting to watch. It'll be interesting to see if the sellout streak returns at any point this season as things start to return back to normal. But it seems a good time to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about goings-on around the rest of the league. So stay tuned. All right, welcome back. So we're going to use this segment to talk about there's some happenings from around the rest of the NHL, and something that I think none of us saw coming. The Buffalo Sabres are undefeated. I don't know. I mean, and they're not, you know, easy wins either. I mean, they beat Montreal to start 5-1, 2-1 shootout win over Arizona. Maybe not that surprising. Arizona's really not that great either. But then, like, Vancouver, 5-2. And, I mean, what? They have a couple guys over a point per game. Both of their goalies have save percentages over 950. Obviously, no Jack Eichel. I don't know if maybe, you know, just it's because it's clear Eichel's not coming back. I don't know if just having that, you know, off their minds, you know, I don't know if there's, I don't know, that made things easier. But what is happening in Buffalo?
It is wild. And it's been so interesting because obviously I used to cover that team. So I'm still kind of in a lot of connection with a lot of the, you know, beat reporters and stuff up there. But they credit it all to Don Granato. I mean, these players love playing for this guy. And that is something they did not like, playing for Ralph Kruger, who came before Don Granato. So it's been interesting to see. And I love Sabres fans more than anything in the world because they are some of the most loyal and dedicated fans in all of sports. And seeing them, I'm like, you know what? You guys deserve this happiness. I'm like, this is, hold on to this, because I mean, the rest of, I think, hockey Twitter is kind of like, what on earth is going on? I think, you know, some of the advanced stats are saying, okay, the Sabres, you know, playoff percentage with this start went from 0.9 to 1.1. So, little margins of victory. But, I mean, it is fascinating to see. I mean, these are some of the storylines you kind of love to see, in the sense where it's like, okay, who are the surprise teams? Who are going to catch people's eyes? They play the Bruins. I think their next game is the Bruins on Thursday or Friday. And I want to say it's Friday. I mean, that's going to be kind of a, I don't want to say marquee game, but it might be. I think I think I was going to be saying that? No, I did not.
Yeah, I mean, they're just having fun. I mean, from what I've seen, like, you know, their post games, I think they also made a switch, what, this year, where they have individual goal songs instead of one team goal song, which really, I know, I think that's such a fun concept. I saw when Jeff Skinner has Party in the USA, and someone asked him, like, why? And he's like, it's just a good song. Like,
which, just good vibes.
Yeah, just good vibes. So funny. Yeah, it's just a fun team. And I think it's because, you know, there really is no pressure. And I think maybe that is kind of what we saw from them this, you know, second half of last season down the stretch, when it's obvious, you know, they're not playing for anything and things just got fun, no pressure. When you're that bad, it's at a certain point, you reach a point where there's no pressure. I mean, I talked to a lot of the 03-04 Penguins, the ones that went on, the 17-game losing streak, and they, you know, talked about that too, where, you know, towards the end of the season, they actually started playing really well, and it's just because they were so bad that there were no expectations. I just love that concept of individual team goal songs. So I
that's great.
Two years ago, I asked a bunch of Penguins players, like, do you like that idea? What would yours be? And like almost all of the ones I talked to hated the concept.
Really?
Yeah. You know, they're talking about, like, oh, you shouldn't be able to know who scores when they score a goal. And a couple of them, like, picked what their song would be. I feel like most of the guys who I talked about are no longer with the team. But I don't know. What do you guys think about that idea where teams – because the Sabres are doing it. I think what – do the Hurricanes do it? I know the Sharks do it. The Capitals, I'm pretty sure, do it. Yeah. A couple minor league teams, like it is starting to become a trend.
Well, is the point so that people know who scored? I thought that the point was to show off the individual's personality or give them an opportunity to kind of express themselves in the gameplay. I kind of love it. I'm on the fence, I think. I love it for other teams. I'm such a traditionalist that I love Party Hard a lot, so I would be disappointed if it changed again, but nothing would ever be worse than Jump Around, probably. So I think that even having individual goal songs, like I would get on board with it eventually. And I'm really curious about what songs the current roster would pick. Like Jeff Carter's goal song, I have to know that. I just had that thought this second, but now I'm making it my life's ambition to find out what goal song he would have if that were a thing. But I think it's a cool concept and just shows off their personality, and it makes the game a little bit more involved for the guys on the team.
Yeah. It's one of those, I feel like there's no wrong answer, because obviously like Party Hard is what it is to everybody that's a Penguins fan, and even people that aren't, just they know that that is so synonymous with the Pens. But then it's also kind of fun. I mean, it's the equivalent of a walk-up song in baseball. Guys get to show their personality a little bit. And I feel like us kind of being in the sports world realm, it's always fun to, you know, there's certain storylines with it where it's like, oh my God, this guy's like been on a, you know, in baseball, this guy's been on a hit streak. Like he's been riding this song, and the second he stops, it's like, all right, got to switch it up. Got to change things up. Like, I just think it's fun to see their personalities and just to kind of see. I mean, I always, you know, you wonder some of, you know, the more European guys, you know, all that, what would they have more of like an American style music, or would they have more, you know, some things that they listen to, whether they're, you know, Swedish or Finnish. I feel like with the Sabres, like Rasmus Dahlin's taste in music was always so interesting when he talked about it. So I just like love hearing those types of things from the players. Again, it's giving us insight into kind of their lives.
Yeah, I know that one of the first teams to kind of make this regular thing in North America, it was the Charlotte Checkers. So the Hurricanes, at the time, the Hurricanes AHL affiliate, not their affiliate now, but they had, I think it was a Swede, and his song was just a Swedish national anthem, which is just like so funny, like not a hype song at all. And I remember when I did go around asking guys, you know, what they would do. I think I asked Rikola like what he would do, and he said something Finnish, and I was like, would you do the Finnish anthem? And he was like, no. Rico's a man of few words, but I asked him like the anthem, and he's like, no. I think the only guy still on the team who I remember who actually came up with an answer was Sam Lafferty. He said Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue, which interesting song. I think right after he said that, Wilkes-Barre actually made that their goal song. So I think they ripped that off from him. But yeah, I remember Dominic Simone, he actually said maybe something by Mac Miller, because I mean, I think this was right after Mac Miller died. So I don't know, maybe Party on Fifth Avenue. But yeah, I know I would love to see more teams adopt this. I just think it's another layer, something fun to watch during the game. But other storylines from around the league. I don't know how closely you guys have been following the Kraken, but I mean they're 1-3-1. But I mean their two leading goal scorers right now are Jared McCann and Brandon Tanev. McCann, what, he has 5 points in 5 games, and 3 of those are goals. And then Tanev has 3 goals in 5 games. And I think what Tanev had the first game winner in Kraken history. But I don't know, is anyone surprised to see the two former Penguins just carrying the Kraken?
No.
No.
Good for them too. Good for them. I'm so glad that they're doing well, especially Brandon Tanev. But they were such reliable players for the roles that they were in on the team. And luckily we haven't had to miss them just yet because the Penguins have been performing so well. But I, even just their Tanev in particular, his personality, miss that a lot. And I'm thrilled for them. I'm so glad that they're finding success, and I hope it continues for them throughout the season. I hope they can keep grinding away like that.
And this is what's kind of so cool about expansion teams too, is like you have players that aren't entirely, you know, top six guys on their teams go to a new team where they get to flourish and they get to kind of have this new identity for themselves where they're a bigger role player than they were on their previous team. And again, we know what Tanev and McCann were, and I think we saw a lot from them in terms of their growth last season with the Pens. Right. But for them, I mean, this is just, it is kind of cool. And I think a lot of Penguins fans do really appreciate it. It's like, all right, like it's the nostalgia. It's like the ex that you broke up with that you guys, like, it was just, it wasn't working out. It was just a mutual breakup. And you still look at it and you're like, okay, like, I'm glad to see you doing well. Like, I miss you. Like, I don't want to beat you, but like, we're doing well.
Well, I don't know. And then it goes both ways where, you know, all those players on the Kraken, I think, you know, because they are, you know, the cast-offs, and we kind of saw it in Vegas, you know, their first year, where I think they were calling themselves like the Golden Misfits because they're the players that, you know, their teams didn't want. And I can't remember which player on the Kraken said it, but, you know, they said, you know, every night they're going to be playing a team where a guy, I guess maybe except for what Toronto or a couple of other teams, but there's a guy who wants to prove to his former team that, you know, you just screwed up by letting me go. So I don't know. That's where, like, if you got dumped and you're with your new boyfriend or whatever, and you're like, screwed up.
What you're missing out on?
Yeah. So that's what we're seeing from the Kraken. But yeah, just really a fun team to follow. And yeah, I guess I happy for McCann too, just because how many teams has he been with by now? He has kind of he's young and he's been bouncing around. Hasn't really fit in that well anywhere, but it seems like he's found a home with the Kraken, so good for him. He's a nice guy. A really cool dog, Cheddar the Corgi. So love that Cheddar has a home. But I don't know, what other teams stood out for you? I know, Jenna, off air, you're talking about Toronto, New York.
Oh my God, that overtime period, everyone on Twitter was tweeting about like this should have come with a health warning because it was one of those just like, that's what you love about 3-on-3 overtime. That's what I feel like I've missed. But it's like back and forth and chances at both ends. And you saw like Shesterkin come out and make this crazy save. And then you saw the Rangers go down on the other end and Campbell makes this ridiculous save. And like, those are just the moments where you're like, my God, I love this sport so much. Like, we miss this. How did we go so long without it? And how did we go so long without fans experiencing it? Obviously because of the pandemic, but just having those fans back for moments like that. And even just, you know, the other night here in Pittsburgh with the crowd chanting Jari the way that they were. Like, I think that just, that those are the aspects you're like, wow, like this is why we were meant to like have fans at sporting events.
Yeah. I mean, the Toronto New York game, like the NHL put out like a highlight video just of overtime and it's like 3 minutes long. And it's like, that's just all of overtime. It's just pretty much all of overtime.
I was just going to say that's basically all of it.
Yeah. Jordan, what about you? Any other teams, games, anything stand out around the league?
I honestly haven't been following a ton. It's difficult to say this early on with how few games have been played, but I think, you know, I'm not going to say that my heart is full that the Flyers have been struggling so much, but especially how shaky Carter Hart has continued to look with all of the crap that Flyers fans were pumping into the ether about Carter Hart. He's the best goalie in the league. He's better than Matt Murray. And look at him now. And, you know, I'm sure he's a great guy, whatever, but I think that the Islanders too, they have not done great to start the season. Not super well. And then I know that the Avalanche are, I think they only have maybe 2 points so far. Like they won 2 and something, 1-3 and something. Like they're not looking great.
Yeah. Well, we also have to bring up what Jack Johnson, because that happened after we recorded last. First goal of the season. Jack Johnson coming down on a breakaway beats Marc-Andre Fleury. A moment scripted to just annoy Penguins fans because like what I don't know what happened. Oh, yeah, I don't know. The Blackhawks have been terrible. Marc-Andre Fleury is in for a long season. Jack Johnson coming in on a breakaway to score the first goal.
Go figure.
Really an indication of things are going. Just one more thing on the West I wanted to mention. Anze Kopitar. Anze Kopitar is probably my favorite player in the league to follow. He's just the nicest guy and just such a really well-rounded player. I mean, he's 34 years old. He's tied for the league-leading goals with five. I mean, he's tied with McDavid and Draisaitl in points through three games. Just really cool to see from him. He's a perennial Selke candidate, two-time winner, you know, best defensive forward. So the Kings, I think a lot of people wrote them off just because of all the California teams were a dumpster fire last year. But, I mean, the Kings are looking good to start, and I think adding, you know, like Deneau, like Kopitar doesn't have to be the number one center anymore. I mean, I think maybe that pressure is allowing him to score like this. So this is something interesting to follow throughout the season, but good to see him doing well. And I guess the Kings doing well after how bad they were last year. But yeah, seems like a good time to wrap it up. Thanks again for joining us on another podcast on Fifth Avenue. We're here every Thursday. New episodes drop 2 p.m. every Thursday. So subscribe wherever podcasts, whatever you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever, wherever you listen to. So thanks again for joining us, and we hope you join us next Thursday.